I'd like to go ahead and start and welcome you to the City of Columbia Planning and Zoning Regular Meeting, the Thursday, July 5th, 2018. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Strodman.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. Harder.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Also present.
We have nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Approval of agenda. Staff, is there any changes to our agenda this evening?
No, there is not.
Thank you. Approval of minutes. Commissioners, we had the minutes were sent out from the June 21st, 2018 regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Are there any corrections or changes needed to those minutes from June 21st, 2018? I see none. Thumbs up for approval of those minutes. I'm sorry. It's unanimous. Thank you. First item of the evening. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-115. Please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. A request by case 18-115, a request by Cypress Creek Renewables LLC on behalf of Dunlop Development LLC, seeking rezoning of an 80-acre parcel of land located on the south side of I-70 Drive Southeast, approximately 2,000 feet east of St. Charles Road. The property is currently zoned A, which is agricultural district, and the applicant is requesting approval of PD, which is a planned district zoning, to allow for the installation of a 10 megawatt solar energy facility. A request to table this item to the July 19th, 2018 meeting has been received. This is the applicant's second tabling request. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. You have in your packets a letter from Mr. Shields with Cypress Creek Renewables. They're the petitioner in this case, and they would respectfully request a second tabling of this item to your July 19 meeting. And the purpose stated that they'd like additional time to prepare their plans and presentations. You generally will favor tabling requests as long as there's not more than two or a two-month delay.
Thank you, Mr. Teddy. Commissioners, any discussion on needed? If not, we'll go ahead and, as is in past practice, if anyone is here this evening related to case 18-115, you're welcome to come forward this evening. I see no one. Commissioners? You just need to come to the podium, give us your name and address. And so this is a table request, and so we're just being asked to table this matter to the July 19th meeting. So if we were to agree to that, then on the July 19th meeting, this item would come forward. You'd have a chance to speak at that at that meeting. If you are not able to attend, you can still send information to the city. If you want to speak tonight on this item, you can. It's just more on a tabling request and not the actual case itself. It's more about the tabling request.
Got it.
If that helps you.
I still may speak.
We still need your name and address.
Okay, my name is Timothy Wade. I reside at 2104 Bluff Point Drive in Columbia, Missouri. Thank you for letting me speak briefly about the tabling request. I would like to respectfully ask that the city perhaps ask the applicant for additional detailed information, which I've seen nothing. I'm making this request on behalf of my ownership in the 129 deciduous acres directly south of the affected properties, which is in the county. And I understand that the city has an interest in this property and using it differently than what I had been told when I was giving the city easements for utilities and sewage access through my property years ago. So I have not been able to find any information whatsoever regarding this particular application. It's been very difficult. I have two different letters on two different dates suggesting we would like to have this issue tabled because we need more time. And I did find some information on the city. It's basically a picture of the property and maybe a layout of how those solar panels would look, but I have no idea of like how waste streams are going to be impacted, electrical usage. I mean, this is access that the city is asking for that does go through the county. And so as a county constituent, I'm interested in the impact that the county will feel from the city's need to access that property. Is there a way that we can get maybe detailed information on the applicant's request for how they would like to use that property and the city's utility grid?
You know, your request will be forwarded. Your information has been recorded, and the appropriate parties.
A lot of time's gone by without having that information available. I'm just curious.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we do have the complete application as well as a fairly detailed written presentation on Truman Solar. That's the name of the facility. So, Mr. Wade, I can visit with you after this item, and I can show you how to access that. It's a copy of the application, and they've written about 36 pages describing their plans and various aspects
so
of it.
So you have that.
And there is a graphical layout. Now, that the one caveat is that may be subject to change because that's how it looked in their original application. But we have it on a feature called the Community Dashboard, which is basically a map of current applications, as well as
did access that, but it only has about 6 pages of information.
You can get that. There's a second document. You have to scroll through a couple of pages of that link, and I'll show you how to access that.
All right.
So it's fairly detailed, and it does have a layout plan of the proposed facility.
Thank you.
Yeah, commissioners, any questions of the speaker? Asina, thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I'm right along with my fellow constituent here.
Can we get your name and address,
please? My name is Pat Davis, and I live at 6500 I-70 Drive Southeast, and my property is to the immediately east of this property that you're developing. And you're talking about 88 acres, but this is not just an 88-acre piece of parcel that these people own. So what are they planning on doing with the remainder of that property? And I would like to see if they could not email me the information so I can get links to the information that my fellow constituent asked for.
Ms. Davis, I would assume that Mr. Teddy's offer to help afterwards would be the same for you, that he'd be glad to assist you to help you share that information.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? Thank you, Ms. Davis. Anyone else that'd come forward? If not, commissioners, discussion, motion, Mr. McMahon?
If we have no questions, in the matter of case 18-115, Cypress Creek Renewables, LLC, rezoning, tabling request, I move to table the date certain, 19 July 2018.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon and Mr. Stanton. Commissioners, we have received a motion to table case 18-115 to our July 19th, 2018 meeting. It was made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Stanton. Is there any questions on that motion? If not, Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for roll call, please.
Yes. Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
9-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. That case will be forwarded to our July 19th agenda. Moving on to our first public hearing, open up for case 18-131. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case 18-131, please disclose that now so that all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see none. Case 18-131, a request by J. Patrick and Barbara Fitzgerald to annex 3 acres of Boone County RS, which is the county's single-family residential zoned land into the city and apply R1, which is the city's one-family dwelling district zoning, as permanent zoning to allow for connection to sewer, city sewer. The subject site is addressed 5705 East Mexico Gravel Road. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As you mentioned, this is a three-acre piece of property. It is Lot 3 of the Lewis and Smar subdivision. The request this evening is application of R1 zoning upon permanent annexation. We sent 20 postcards to adjacent property owners. Four members of the public and two applicants attended on June the 12th for that public information meeting. We put notice in the newspaper on June the 19th, and as well, we mailed property owner letters to those 20 individual nearby property owners. So the request this evening is to annex in order to be able to connect to city sewer. So the existing on-site septic system is operational, but the applicants have indicated a desire to sell the property and think that it will help facilitate the sale to have access to that city sewer. And so this particular area has two different options, which have been reviewed by the Utilities Department. So the first would be to connect here from the line that's south of East Mexico Gravel Road. The other option is working with the adjacent property owners to the west, then to connect here to this line. So any final design considerations will be subject to approval by the City Utilities Department. And the property can be served via city water, and it's in the Boone Electric service territory. There is, I will also mention too, capacity for both of those sewer lines to serve this property. The site is presently in the county, and as such is zoned County RS, or single family residential. This is similar density and use to the city's R1 zoning classification, and generally fits the surrounding land uses of the whole area, which I'll show here in a moment. So in 2003, this piece of property right here, which is Lot 1 of Lewis and Smar subdivision, was annexed into the city and was assigned permanent zoning of ag. So the lot we're talking about here is 3 over, so Lot 3 of the Lewis and Smar subdivision. The entire subdivision is here on your screen as well. So the surrounding connectivity to the city boundary is here on the northern property line. So this is the Garden City Heights subdivision. As I mentioned, it is in the city. It has R1 permanent zoning. So the overall land use mix within this area is primarily residential and rural in nature. So for the county, we have quite a bit of this RS zoning here, as on the screen. We also have areas of ag as well. So the surrounding land use does really support the application of R1 permanent zoning for this area. I do want to note that this area is outside of the urban services boundary as determined by the Columbia Imagine Plan. So this hatch line right here, you will see that the property that was part of the same subdivision that was annexed prior to the adoption of the USA in 2013 as part of the Columbia Imagine Plan is included in the USA, but this area was not included. So the urban services area anticipates areas that can be served by city utilities over the next 20 years. As I previously mentioned, this particular lot is able to be served by city water, city sewer, and then Boone Electric. So I just wanted to point that out for your consideration. So this evening we are recommending approval of the R1 zoning as permanent city zoning upon annexation. This is based upon our analysis that the parcel is able to utilize existing infrastructure as called for by Columbia Imagined. Additionally, we feel that the R1 zoning district, after analysis of the surrounding area and the land use and the allowed densities, is congruent with the neighborhood district for the future land use for this area. With that, I'm here to answer any questions, as well as the applicants are also in attendance.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Commissioners, any questions of staff? Mr. McMahon.
Just real quickly, thank you, Ms. Chairman. Ms. Bacon, the other members of the public besides the applicants who attended this public information meeting, their input was?
Mostly questions about procedure. There is a neighboring property who does not want to be within the city limits. That was pretty clear from the discussion.
That's the intervening property between the and three?
No, okay. It is not. It's a property to the south. So I do want to point out that this would be a voluntary annexation request, and so it will only annex this particular piece of property into the city limits. It will not forcefully put any neighboring or adjacent property owner within the city limits.
All right, thank you. I just want to get their input. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions, commissioners? I see none. We'll go ahead and open this up. It is a public hearing. If anyone in the audience would like to come forward and speak to us on case 18-31131, I would welcome that this time. I see no one. We'll go ahead and close the hearing. Commissioners, discussion? Motion? Ms. Lowe.
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion in the case of 18-131, approve of the R1 zoning as permanent city zoning upon annexation.
Second.
Commissioners, Ms. Lowe has made a motion on case 18-131, received its proper second from Mrs. Russell. Is there any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for a roll call.
Yes. Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
9-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Our recommendation for R1 zoning as permanent, this is city zoning upon annexation, will be forward to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to our next case, case 18-132, a request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of OTA Properties for a rezoning of 51 acres of property addressed 0.52 acres of property addressed 709 Fay Street from IG, which is the industrial, to MN, which is the mixed-use neighborhood. The property includes lot 25 and the south 60 feet of lot 24 of Harbison's second addition to the City of Columbia. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As you mentioned, this piece of property is address 709 Fay Street. It's presently two parcels. Later on this evening, you're going to have a one lot replat before you under case 18-132. So the request is to go from IG or industrial zoning to MN or mixed use neighborhood to allow redevelopment of the site. The request will be a three story mixed use building. Presently, the industrial zoning category does not allow for any residential uses. And so that's really the impetus and the ability later to build across lot lines for this tonight's request. We had a public information meeting on June the 12th. We had one applicant and one member of the public present. We mailed 14 postcards to nearby adjacent properties. We published notice in the newspaper on 6/19, and then we also mailed property owner notice letters to those 14 neighboring property owners. So to give scale and location to where we are generally, I've got both the zoning up here on this particular map, and then I also want to indicate Columbia College-owned property. I think that'll be important here in a moment. So this particular property and some of the surrounding property is zoned industrial. It's mid-block in between Wilkes here at the north and then Hinkson Avenue on the south. But the surrounding land use is different and more eclectic than the surrounding zoning. So that's something that I think that we do need to discuss this evening. In this sort of blue hatch is property that's owned by Columbia College. And so as they have expanded their footprints per their master plan, which was last reviewed by this body in 2017, there's been quite a bit of land assemblage that still remains industrial. And so a lot of campus-oriented activities, so everything from the big parking lot right here for the Southwell Gymnasium to classroom buildings are allowed within that industrial zoning. So we haven't seen rezoning actions that necessarily match the land use mix, at least directly adjacent to this property. Now here on Rangeline Street, where the city has done quite a bit of investment in recent years, you do see some of that rezoning change over time to those more eclectic uses. So everything from MN up here, there's Arthur or RMF, there's mixed use commercial, et cetera. So we see that eclectic land use reflected in the zoning right here, but while we do also see some eclectic uses through this area, we are still seeing that carryover industrial zone. So I do want to point that out. Farther to the south, we've got some interesting zoning categories. So Logboat Brewery is going to be over here. Here, this HP overlay is the Wright Brothers Mule Barn. So it's a historic building. We mentioned earlier at the work session that it has a green roof. So it's office space and it's also residential as well. And then moving farther north up here, is the Wilkes Brown Shoe Factory building. And so that is also a historic building that's been renovated to have high quality office space. So even though there is industrial zoning, it's office type of use. So I just wanted to make that clear. Over here, that's purple hatching. That is the urban conservation overlay for Benton Stevens. And so this is a residential neighborhood as well. So we see all kinds of land uses within this particular area. Also, it's really an area that's been undergoing a lot of change in recent years, likely because it's very adjacent to both Columbia College and the Mizzou campus. Just a lot of redevelopment activity in general. We've got those historic buildings as anchors. Columbia College has done quite a bit of investment in recent years, and then also the city's investment in the infrastructure along Range Light Street. So as I mentioned, the industrial zoning does specifically prohibit residential uses. And so the rezoning request this evening includes going to a mixed-use zone to have that first floor retail and then second and third floor residential apartment uses. We're concurrently processing the rezoning case with the OTA subdivision plat 1 and design adjustments, which we'll get to here in just a moment. Additionally, we are anticipating, if there is approval on these two actions tonight, that there will be two requests to the Board of Adjustment. One will be a height variance, and one may potentially be a parking variance as well. And I'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with that here in a moment. So going back to Columbia Imagined designates this area as a city center. Specifically, that supports a mix of uses at a pedestrian scale. As I mentioned with the graphic earlier, the land use mix in this area is a lot more diverse than the zoning mix within the area, and we are seeing quite a bit of change in the land use pattern. As mentioned in the staff report, we did critically consider the impact of bringing residential into an industrial area. There are health and safety concerns associated with that. It's everything from noise and pollution and other kind of noxious uses. So our evaluation of this area did look at the existing industrial uses on the block. So specifically, it's car service-oriented types of buildings. One-story predominantly, and then you can see here looking north, you've got the two-story office building that is the former shoe factory building. So looking at that, those lower intensity industrial uses may not be the highest and best use of this area over time as it continues to transition. We also mentioned that investment by the city and Columbia College. The applicant also provided quite a bit of information to this effect in the packet that was provided to you. And I also do want to note that this particular area is served by existing utilities that does carry forth the goals and objectives of Columbia Imagined. However, there is a study underway presently regarding the sewer capacity within this particular basin area. There are concerns by the utilities department that are being looked at with this study. And so no building permits will be issued for any redevelopment on this site until either the capacity is mitigated or addressed or found to be satisfactory. So I do want to point that out. I think it is an important thing to note. So looking at all of these factors together, looking at the future land use category, looking at the changing use of the area, the surrounding zoning and land use pattern, the fact that it's transitioning, that there has been a lot of investment within this area, tonight we are recommending approval of the rezoning from industrial to mixed-use neighborhood. I am here to answer any questions, and the applicant is here as well.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Commissioners, any questions of staff? Mr. McMahon.
I have a declaration to make. Two officers from North Central did ask me about this. The question was as follows. This is a good thing, right? And I said, I don't know. We'll see. So just to let you guys know, I was asked. They were generally amenable given what they had read, but they had not read much. Now you know what I know.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Any additional questions or additional questions from of staff? I see. I'm going to open this up. Public hearing, if you'd like to come forward, just give us your name and address.
My name is Matthew Crudy. I'm with Engineering Surveys and Services and the civil engineer on the project. Office is at 1113 Faye Street. And to your question, yes, this is a good thing. I think you're seeing an area that is transitioning quite a bit, as Ms. Bacon has noted. You're seeing this change from these lighter industrial uses into, you know, this more eclectic use like Logboat and the Mule Barn. And continued redevelopment office north of there, and the investment that Columbia College has put into the area. I think this well fits into it. The future land use plan had also identified this as a city center area, so I think they recognized this change was coming. And you know, the application at this point for zoning is very consistent with that land use plan. And other than that, I think Ms. Bacon gave a great and summary of the project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is my neighborhood. I go by here quite a bit. To follow up on what Ms. Bacon Planner Bacon said in regards to the sewage and the stormwater, though I think in general conceptually it's a good thing, you know, to redo the entire area. This area has needs. I'm not sure. Do you guys?
And you're referring to stormwater.
The stormwater and the sewage is a little concerning too. This area has an olfactory presence whenever it rains. The sewer kicks up. It floods with INI, and we smell it. I understand it's contingency, but it is an issue all up and down the street. And just kind of wonder where you guys are going with that. Are you willing to step up if this has problematic area?
Yeah, staff was very forthcoming on the concerns of the area, and particularly the INI problems that have been there. I know from a public perspective, the city has spent a lot of money in this watershed, you know, particularly downstream fixing INI problems, and had a really significant impact on it. You know, INI continues to be a problem on private laterals and, you know, other sources, but has been greatly, greatly reduced. You know, stormwater in the area, again, it is an older area. I mean, the infrastructure is not to the standard we'd have today. I can speak to a lot of improvements that have occurred downstream by Columbia College in replacement of that old and failing infrastructure. And that's extending nearly to this property at this point with those improvements. So from a stormwater standpoint and conveying runoff from this property, I don't see that being a problem. The improvements that have occurred down there are quite quite an improvement. And then you're looking also at an area that now is pretty much, I mean, with a little bit of green space, it's pretty much impervious, and that most of this area is. And with the new standards, I mean, you're going to have landscaping added in. You're going to have some impervious areas added back in. Which I think, again, is going to help with the stormwater aspect. And sewer, you know, absolutely. If there's needs and the applicant needs to step up and we need to step up to find a solution for that, and, you know, we're ready to do that. We'll see what the results of the study are. There's, you know, models aren't kind to it, but there's not a lot of data in this part of the watershed that's really, truly been studied. So we're kind of waiting to hear what the numbers tell us.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to keep my eye on this. I bike and walk. I live south of here on Hubble, and I bike and walk through here a lot, and it has issues. And my mechanic is across the street, too, so I'm very familiar with this. That's all the questions I have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Commissioners, any additional questions of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Creedy. Anyone else like to come up forward this evening?
I'm the applicant. How are you doing? Bobby Campbell.
Give us your name and address.
Yeah, Bobby Campbell, 5706 South Sundance Drive. Thanks for letting me talk. You know, I'm just a big believer in this area. I think, you know, what we're doing down here on 709 Fay, and I also built the building at 602 Fay right next to Logboat, is something that has a future, and I just have a real vision for an area where people can live, work, and play together, right? Around that concept. And we are very cognizant of North Central Association. I'll be meeting with them once we decide exactly what the end product is going to look like. I've met with them before on 602 Fay, and, you know, in general, they were positive about, you know, what was happening. But we want to be good neighbors, and we really want a development that is part of a neighborhood and not a development standing alone there. And we really think this adds to the neighborhood, will be a positive for everybody in the area. And we're there to, you know, address issues as they arise and make the neighborhood a better place. So, yeah.
Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you.
Peter Norgard, 1602 Hinkson Avenue. Peter Norgard, N-O-R-G-A-R-D. 1602 Hinkson Avenue. I have no prepared comments. We got the letter in the mail. I'm part of Benton Stevens, if you don't know. So we got the letter in the mail about this. I would say I feel generally I'm not necessarily in favor or not in favor of this. However, some of the points that were mentioned about sewage and parking are a concern. And I would just urge you to consider that certain parts of North Central, which are downstream of this project, are experiencing sewage problems, and on their behalf I'm speaking, not with their consent, but on behalf of them. And I think it's a little bit irresponsible to continue to add additional usage to a system that we know is already not up to capacity. And so I would just urge you to at least consider the fact that sewage is an issue, and that a conditional granting of a building permit, I think we all know that, generally speaking, building permits are granted once they're asked for. And so essentially you are signing off on this. And until the city has a real solution for the older neighborhoods, I believe this is an irresponsible action.
Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to come forward this evening? I see none. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, discussion, Mr. McMahon?
I just have a comment. In general, I agree with what Mr. Norgaard said, and my comment is essentially as follows. We have a new code policy whereby we're minimizing stormwater runoff if you redevelop. We don't have that with sanitary sewage. We might want to revisit that again because we don't have a regulatory guideline in that regards.
Ms. Lowe?
Well, I'm going to go back to the staff report on this, which does tell us that a building permit shall not be issued unless it is determined or mitigation actions produce an adequate sewer capacity. This action is consistent with provisions contained in section 29-6.4B5 of the UDC.
I hear you, Commissioner Lowe.
So my question to staff is, if we approve the change in zoning, are we assured that a building permit will not be issued until adequate sewer capacity has been determined?
Correct, and that's exactly the meaning of that paragraph in the code is we have to make sure that we're not overburdening sewer, and that goes for building permits as well as platting actions. So.
Thank you.
Additional questions, commissioners? Motion for discussion? Mrs. Russell.
In the case of 18-132, I move to approve the rezoning from IG to MN.
Second.
Who's the second? We have a motion made by Mrs. Russell for case 18-132. Ms. Rushing was the second. Is there further discussion needed on that motion? Mr. McMahon.
Just real briefly, I will be voting no in the hopes that council, I hope this development goes through, in the hopes that council will discuss this also so the neighborhood may have a bit of a chance to review it.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. If I see no additional discussion, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yeah.
Mr. Toohey.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
8-1, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval of rezoning from IG Industrial to MN will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to the next case, case 18-133. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case 18-133. Please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Mr. McMahon?
Same as applies as previous. Are you with me? I will repeat that. Two of the officers of North Central approached me and said as follows, this is a good thing, right? And I said, we'll see when we get the report.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Anyone else? Case 18-133, request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of OTA Properties for approval of a one-lot replat to be known as OTA Subdivision Plat 1 and approval of design adjustments from sections 29-5.1C4 and 29-5.1G4 of the UDC pertaining to dedication of additional right-of-way and the provision of public utility easements, respectfully. The subject site contains 0.52 acres and was formerly platted as Lot 25 in the south 60 feet of Lot 24 of Harbison's second edition. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As previously mentioned in case 18-132, this is the correspondent final replat with design adjustments for OTA subdivision plat 1. As you mentioned, it's 0.52 acres. It is on the west side of Fay Street, approximately equidistant between Wilkes and Rogers. We held a public information meeting on June the 12th. One member of the public and one applicant attended. We mailed 14 postcards to adjacent property owners, including two neighborhood associations, so the Benton Stevens Neighborhood Association and the North Central Neighborhood Association all received notice for both the public information meeting and the public hearing this evening. We also provided notice in the paper on June the 19th announcing the public hearing. So this replatting action will allow for redevelopment of the site to allow a three-story mixed-use building. Presently, the UDC does not allow a building over lot lines, and so this will eliminate that particular problem. With the plat, they are required to build an adequate sidewalk. Two design adjustments are being requested with the plat. They are subject to review criteria under the UDC section 29.5.2b9. I did list all of these five items within your staff report, and I'm happy to go through them one by one if you'd like, but I'm not going to hold screen time for that particular analysis this evening. So you previously considered a concurrent zoning request from IG Industrial to MN and are forwarding a recommendation of approval to the City Council. So when we look at this plat, it was found to be in compliance with the UDC with the following two exceptions that are being processed as design adjustments. So the first design adjustment requested is a partial reduction in the right-of-way dedication required for Fay Street. So Fay Street is presently a 40-foot right-of-way width. It's a local non-residential street, which would require between 60 and 66 feet of right-of-way. So the request this evening is to dedicate an additional 5 feet of right-of-way to bring the half width of the street up to 25 feet, with the thought being then that would allow ultimately the other side of the property does the same, a 50-foot total corridor. The applicant would, under the code, without a design adjustment, be required to dedicate 10 feet. So this partial design adjustment request is short by 5 feet. I do want to note that the existing pavement is 32 feet wide. So the standard of pavement width for a local non-residential street is between 30 and 36 feet. So at least the pavement width would meet the minimum standard for that. This particular request will match the right-of-way on the adjacent property to the south. Public Works has reviewed the request and the information provided by the applicant. They are supportive. It will allow enough space for the required sidewalk per the plan in action to be built within the public right-of-way. There are presently no capital improvement plans to extend Fay Street beyond its existing footprint, and the plan in action will bring this area into closer compliance than what is existing on the site right now. The second design adjustment that is requested is a waiver from the requirement to have a 10-foot utility easement dedication adjacent to all public streets. So in this case, once again, we're talking about Fay Street. So the applicant is specifically requesting relief from section 29.5.1G.4.2 and Appendix A, which describes this dedication requirement. The UDC does describe to the extent possible utilities should be in dedicated easements. In this particular area, as we've seen in several built-up areas of the city, especially the more historic areas, the utilities are already in the street. Additionally, the applicant has provided additional information that they are going to seek the pedestrian standard for the MN or mixed-use neighborhood zone. So this provision in the code, if granted by the Board of Adjustment, would ultimately allow as low as a 0-foot front yard setback. So this evening you did recommend a rezoning action from industrial to MN. The minimum front yard setback traditionally in the MN and the industrial zones both is 25 feet. And so this pedestrian standard, in order to have a heightened pedestrian experience for first floor retail, does allow to go as low as a 0-foot front yard setback. So there is sort of a little bit of a disconnect within the code between this zero standard and then the 10-foot utility easement. And I think that the thought here is that that's why we have this public process, this weighing of all of the good things that we need. So if you deny this particular design adjustment, then that would put, even if the pedestrian standard is granted, a 10-foot setback automatically. So I just wanted to point that out. The utilities staff reviewed this request and don't have any concern with the waiver of the 10-foot utility easement on the plat. However, I do also want to note, as I did with case 18133, that the capacity of the larger sewer basin is presently under study. There are concerns with sewer capacity in this area, and no building permits shall be issued for the site until the sewer issue has been addressed or mitigated. So after reviewing the information provided by the applicant, the utilities department staff, as well as the traffic engineers, this evening we are recommending approval of both design adjustments, as well as approval of the OTA subdivision plat 1. I'm happy to help you with any motion that you might make. You can do this in one fell swoop if you are supportive of both design adjustments. You can do one or both design adjustments, no design adjustments, the plat. We're happy to help you with whatever motion you might want to make, and I'm also happy to answer any questions, and the applicant is here as well.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Commissioners, any questions of staff?
I have a question regarding the zero setback that they will be requesting. That's independent, right, of the utility easement?
So the utility easement, if they have the utility easement, they're going to have to go beyond that, because they won't be able to build their building. It's not a good idea, right, to build your building on the utility easement. And so that would put a de facto setback
of 10
on
feet,
the building.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of the Board of Adjustment.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Additional questions, commissioners? I see none. We'll go ahead and open this up to the public. Please give us your name and address.
And Matthew Crudy with Engineering Surveys and Services, office at 1113 Faye Street. I think we got a good summary of the plat, taking a couple old and partial lots and putting them into one and get us in conformance with the subdivision standard. With that, there's two design adjustments, one with the right-of-way. It'll bring or allow Faye Street to be brought up to a 50-foot right-of-way and allow room for the construction of the sidewalk. And I'll just remind the commission that Logboat just recently had a plat approved with a design adjustment that only has 40-foot right-of-way. we're exceeding already what they have and what's already kind of set as a precedent. And with the infrastructure in place, sewer, water, utility, road, everything's there. There's adequate room with the additional right-of-way to get the pedestrian access needed and desired. There's no need for that additional right-of-way. To the extent of the pedestrian standard versus the platting requirement, it is a bit of a disconnect. The pedestrian standard requires that the building, not only can it be built within a zero lot line, but it can be 0 to 10, to a maximum of 10 feet. It actually is going to require that the building be up on the right-of-way. And with a 10-foot easement, that creates problems. Yeah, the building could be right there at that 10-foot line and be conforming, but that doesn't leave room for construction of utility or to footings without putting those in the easement, which, again, is something that would not be desired. So it does create that disconnect. So we were able to work with staff to see, is there a need for that easement? It's a good standard to put it in place in most all cases, but did we really need it here? And the answer was no. There's plenty of room in the right-of-way, and in fact, the additional 5-foot right-of-way gives them 5 more feet in the future if needed to add or repair or whatever they need to do with utilities. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Creedy. Commissioners, any questions of this speaker? Mr. McMahon.
I just want to follow up on a point that Mr. Creedy made for the rest of us. We have, not only with Logboat, but with the Columbia College twice, encouraged, allowed, and approved narrower right-of-ways in the North Central neighborhood, just to get that out there.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Any additional questions of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Grady.
Before I end, to the point of the sewer issue, too, with the UDC and problems that that were in the past with their old code, not really having an ability to stop a development permit if there was not adequate capacity was more of an issue. The UDC is giving staff really that line that makes, well, it says you cannot get a building permit if you don't have adequate capacity. Staff's been very proactive on that and aware of it. And from day one that we brought this forward, that it was a concern. Rezoning itself, the platting itself, it's not going to generate more capacity. And we have myself and the applicant's well aware that it's a concern that needs to be addressed. You know, I'm hopeful that we find that the studies are positive and there is a lot more capacity than maybe we think there is there. But if there's mitigation needed, you know, certainly that'll be the case. So I just want to assure that fact, and I know staff is going to be very diligent in making sure that happens as well. So,
thank you, Mr. Creedy. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Creedy. Anyone else like to come forward?
I just kind of wanted to second what Matt said.
Just get your name and address.
Sorry, Bobby Campbell, 5706 South Sundance Drive. And to the concerned parties who came up and talked earlier, is that we really want to be a good neighbor. We're not there to come in and push through a building that affects people and their homes negatively or the sewer system negatively. And so we want to find a solution for these problems that are problems that existed before we were there that going forward, you know, helps those problems be mitigated. And we want everything we do down there as far as building to be something that not only benefits, you know, me as a developer, but also the neighborhood and the people who live there, and that they can participate, and it's positive for their neighborhoods and it's positive for the community there. And we think what we're doing is a positive. You know, we think it improves the area. We think it improves Columbia as a city, improves it as a place to work and place to live. And so, you know, I'm willing to talk to anybody about their concerns, whether it's the North Central Neighborhood Association, which I've talked to before about stuff down there, or just, you know, homeowners. I'm totally fine talking to them about it. Just kind of explaining what we're doing down there and what we look to do in the future. So, yeah.
Commissioners, any questions? Mr. McMahon.
Real quick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Campbell, for reaching out in the past and reaching out in the future. I know that means a lot to North Central, and I would hope that all developers use that as an exemplar of what to do going forward.
Yeah, well, no problem. I want to be a good neighbor, and I'm sure they're looking for good neighbors. So aren't we all, you know, when we have a house and home, right? So,
thank you, Mr. Campbell. Anyone else like to come forward this evening? I see no one. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, discussion? Additional information needed? Yes, ma'am.
Who's conducting the capacity studies? Is that on the city side or is that on the applicant? Okay.
Yes. However, any mitigation type of activities will be on the applicant side.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon?
Just a point of information just to follow up. That will be a region-wide because we've got a basin there, or just property-specific analysis?
It'll be basin-wide.
Thank you very much. That's North Central will ask that question. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional discussion, commissioners? Motion? Not all at once. Mr. Stanton.
As it relates to case 18-133, the OTA subdivision plat, final plat, and design adjustments, I move to approve as recommended by staff. With the two design, well, I said recommended by staff, so whatever they said. So
the two design adjustments would be a part of that approval?
With the two design adjustments recommended by staff.
Thank you for that motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah. Mrs. Russell, I may have heard first. Commissioners, we have a motion made by Mr. Stanton on case 18-133, and we received its proper second by Mrs. Russell. Is there any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Ms. Secretary, when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Toohey.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
8-1 motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Our recommendation for approval with the two design adjustments will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to public comments. Anyone in the public Staff comments. We have some staff comments this evening.
Yes, sir. Your next meeting will be on July 19th. We'll start with a work session and then the regular meeting. We do have three cases that we'll have a public hearing on July 19th. So the first is 18115 Cypress Creek Renewables that was tabled this evening. The other two cases are 18138 and 18146. So to orient ourselves to the site, 18138 is a Center West office and storage building. It's a rezoning action. It would take two lots out of a plan development and put it into the MC zone, so straight zoning. The solar farm, as we discussed earlier this evening, is on East I-70 Drive Southeast. And then the third case, 18146, is NGT Incorporated. This is a request for annexation and permanent zoning on the northwest corner of Vauder School Road and Scott Boulevard. I don't have any additional comments or questions after that.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Commissioner comments. Mr. McMahon.
No comments. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe, for that second. We are adjourned. Have a nice evening.